blessed one, one breath, breath of eternity, one song becomes a symphony of hearts beating in harmony with you. Blessed one, one breath, breath of eternity, one song becomes a symphony of hearts beating in harmony with you. Blessed one, one breath. A symphony of hearts beating in harmony with you. Blessed one, one breath, breath of eternity, one song becomes a symphony of hearts beating in harmony. Blessed one, one breath, breath of eternity, one song becomes a symphony of hearts beating in harmony with you. Blessed one, one breath, breath of eternity, becomes a symphony of hearts beating in harmony with you. Blessed one, one breath. Hello everybody, you're listening to Osho Radio. We have a program for you with music and meditation. We are sharing a discourse by Osho with you, and just let it take us anywhere. Sit back and relax and just enjoy.
Don't wait any longer, dive in the ocean.
don't wait any longer. Dive in the ocean. Don't wait any longer. Dive in the ocean. Leave and let the sea be you. Leave and let the sea be you. Silent, absent, walking an empty road. Don't wait any longer. Dive in the ocean. Don't wait any longer. Dive in the ocean. Leave and let the sea be you. Leave and let the sea be you. Today's discourse is from the series The Secret of Secrets, Volume 1, Chapter Number 2. The questioner is asking Osho about misery and bliss. How come we're always being pulled in one direction or another? All of a sudden we feel great, the next moment we are in misery. Is there any way to understand this? We play music by Ashik before the discourse from his CD Gypsy Heart with a song called The Spark of Heaven. It's just like kirtan music. The music goes wilder and wilder and takes you higher and higher, and if you allow it, in the end you'll fall down into the silence and the words of Osho. Thank you.
fifth question. Please explain about bliss and misery. For whenever I encounter love or beauty, I only feel tremendous pain, but not bliss, and I don't understand this. You have been told again and again. You have been taught again and again that to be joyous is wrong and to be miserable is right. You may not have been told directly so, but indirectly you have been conditioned and hypnotized for misery. You have started believing as if misery is natural. You see misery all around. Misery abounds. Everybody is miserable. It seems to the way things are. When you were born, you were a happy child as every child is happy. It has not happened otherwise. Never. Whenever a child is born, he is happy, utterly happy. And that's why children look very selfish. They only think of themselves. They are not worried about the world. And they are happy about small things, a butterfly in the garden, and the utter joy, and their wonders. For small things, for nothings, but they are happy. They are naturally happy. But slowly, slowly, we cripple their happiness. We destroy it. We cannot tolerate so much happiness. The world is very miserable, and we have to prepare them for the world. So indirectly, we start indoctrinating them that the world is misery, that you cannot afford to be happy, that happiness is just a hope. And how you can be happy? Don't be so selfish. There is so much misery all around. Feel for others. Consider. Slowly, slowly the child gets the feeling that to be happy is a kind of sin. How you can be happy when the world is in such a misery? People write letters to me. How can you teach people meditation when the world is in such a misery? How can one be happy when people are starving? As if by being unhappy, you will help them. As if by not being meditative, you will be of any kind of service to them. As if wars will disappear if you don't meditate, and poverty will disappear if you are not happy. But misery has been put on a pedestal. Misery has been worshipped. I always suspect that Christianity became the greatest religion because of the cross. It represents misery, suffering. Krishna could not become a great religion because of his flute, because of his dance. Even those who worship him feel a little guilty about him. How you can be so happy and dancing with girlfriends and not one, thousands, and singing and playing on the flute, and the people are dying, and there is death, and starvation and war and violence and all kinds of things are going around. It is a hell. And you are playing on your flute. It seems callous. It seems you are cruel. Jesus seems to be more suitable. Dying on the cross. Look at the face of Jesus. The way Christians have painted his face is very long, sad. He is carrying the whole burden of the earth. He has come to take all the sins of all the people on himself. He seems to be the greatest servant, very unselfish. But my feeling is, Christians have depicted Christ wrongly. This Christ is a myth. The real Christ was more like Krishna. In fact, if you go deep down in the word Christ, you will be surprised. It comes from Krishna. Its root is Krishna. He must have been a very joyous man. Otherwise, how can you think of him eating, drinking, marrying? So many scenes are there where friends have gathered and they are eating and drinking and gossiping. He is not always gospeling. Sometimes he is gossiping too. And he seems to be the only messenger from God who drinks. And eats well. And enjoys small pleasures of life. My feeling is that if Zen masters were to create a religion out of Jesus, they will make him laugh on the cross. A belly laughter. Jesus will be with a very big belly as Bodhidharma is. And the belly shaking like earthquake with great laughter. And that would have been far truer. Far more truer. Even in Japan and China, the statue of the Buddha is made with a big belly. In India, they don't make that big belly. No, not at all. The Indian concept, the yogic concept is the belly has to be very small and the chest has to be big. Because the yogic breathing is a false breathing. It is not natural. It can make a Muhammad Ali out of you, but not a Buddha. It will give you the shape of a Mr. Universe. But have you seen any other kinds of ugly people in the world? The Mr. Universe seems to be the ugliest. I don't think can any woman fall in love with the Mr. Universe. He looks so animalistic. All muscles and no man. Just a kind of mechanism. Just see his moving muscles. Just a kind of mechanism, a machine. But no soul. The Indian statue of Buddha is the yogic statue. When in China they made Buddha's statue, they made with big belly. When one laughs, and when one breathes naturally, the belly comes slowly bigger. Because one breathes from the belly and not from the chest then. The breath goes the whole way down. If sin was going to make a religion out of Christianity, Jesus will be on the cross, but with a laughter. Such a laughter that it will resound down the centuries. But that may not have been a successful religion. Because how it will suit with the people who know only crying and weeping? He will look completely eccentric, outlandish. To be on the cross and said looks perfectly right, because everybody is on a certain cross and said. And you must have been taught from your very childhood that the world is a wrong place. How can you be happy in this place? We are suffering a kind of punishment. God ordered Adam and Eve to leave paradise because they disobeyed. And the humanity is under the curse. How can you be happy? To be a Christian and happy will be a contradiction in terms. You must have been taught that the world is a miserable place. Misery is perfectly right in it, in tune with it, and everybody is miserable. And it will be very hard and cruel on your part to be happy and joyous. That's why people, even while there are moments to enjoy, feel guilty and hold back. Larson took Charlotte for a driveway cut in the country and parked the car in a desolate stretch. "If you try to molest me," said Charlotte, "I will scream." "What good would that do?" asked Larson. "There is not a soul around for miles." "I know," said Charlotte, "but I want to satisfy my conscience before I start having a good time." People even make love with sad faces as if they are on the cross. Serious. Doing a duty. And even if they want to enjoy, they hide it. It doesn't look right. They feel guilty. If people really make love with joy, they will scream, they will shout, they will cry, they will weep, they will laugh. One never knows what kind of emotions will surface. So it is better to keep yourself in control. Otherwise you will look so foolish. And what the neighbors will think. And the modern walls are so thin. That you have to make even love in a yoga posture. Shavasana, the dead body posture. And be finished with it as soon as possible. Don't let it become orgasmic. What are you doing? And Jesus suffered for you on the cross. And you are shouting with joy. Think of Jesus, poor Jesus. And what he will think of you. And think of God, who is a kind of peeping Tom, who always looks from the keyholes. What he will think. If you think of all the gods and the angels and the Christ and the saints, and they all watching, and you are making love, and with such relish, you will suffer in hell. It is better to keep control. It is good to feel guilty. That's why after making love, people feel a kind of sadness, a kind of frustration, as if they have done something criminal. Again, they enjoyed themselves, and that is not right. Just see, whenever you are feeling miserable, something feels good. It will look a contradiction, but it is like this. Whenever you are miserable, you feel blissful. And whenever you are blissful, you feel miserable. You say, please explain about bliss and misery. For whenever I encounter love or beauty, I only feel tremendous pain, but not bliss, and I don't understand this. You will not be able to understand this at all, because your whole understanding has been poisoned. You will have to drop the whole mind. There is no need to understand. You have to go into it with innocence, not with understanding, because again that understanding is a kind of calculation. That understanding is again the knowledge that has been given by the society. And that knowledge is creating the whole trouble. You have to become again a child, innocent. But you want to understand. Forget all about understanding. Understanding is again calculation, cunningness. I have heard an elderly couple went to a doctor. The man said, we want to know if we are making love properly. Will you look at us? Go ahead, said the doctor. They made love. You are making love perfectly. The doctor said, that will be $10. They came back 6 weeks in a row and did the same thing. On the 7th visit, the doctor said, what are you coming here like this for? I told you, you are making love properly. She can't come to my house, said the man, and I can't go to her house. A motel costs $20. You charge us $10, and we get $8 back from the Medicare. Don't be calculating. Don't be cunning with life. Now, what kind of love will this be? Business and business and business. Knowledge is needed for business. Innocence is needed for life. Knowledge is a must in the marketplace, but not needed at all when you are moving in the mysteries. You cannot know, you can only be. You drop this mind, you drop all this conditioning, and start moving. When you feel joyous, feel joyous. Help yourself to feel joyous. Dance, sing. The old habits will pull you back. Don't listen to them. You will have to get rid of the old habits slowly, slowly. It will be a kind of a struggle, because no habits leaves you easily. But these habits are against you and against God, because anything that is against joy is against God. If God can be defined by any word, that word is bliss and nothing else. Whenever you feel something beautiful and the pain arises in you, that pain is not in your being, that pain is in your mind. Your being is trying to go into the beautiful, but your mind is pulling you back. Whenever you feel love arising, bliss arising, and pain also, choose the bliss, neglect the pain, ignore it. Ignoring it, it will die. If you go on paying attention to it, you will feed it. Attention is food. Never pay attention to anything that is wrong. Otherwise, you are helping it to be there. You are giving it more and more strength. Ignore it. There is nothing better than ignoring it. Yes, let it be there. Just say that, okay, you be there. You are just a hangover from my past. You be there. I am going ahead. I am not going to listen to you. Listen to blissful provocations and always go with them. And you are in the right direction. You are moving towards God. Never listen to anything that gives you guilt, pain, misery. You are moving away from God. Whenever you are miserable, you are in hell, farthest away from God. And whenever you are utterly joyous, you are in God, you are in heaven. You say, please explain about bliss and misery. Misery is unnatural. Bliss is your nature. Misery is taught by others. Bliss is given by God. Misery is a conditioning. Bliss is your inner soul, your essence. Misery is personality, just the structure around you. Bliss is your freedom. Unstructured it is. Please explain about bliss and misery, for whenever I encounter love or beauty, I feel tremendous pain, but not bliss, and I don't understand this. You don't try to understand this at all. You just leave the pain there, accept it for a few days, and go into love, and go into love madly, and go into beauty. Dance around a tree, and you will feel something of the shape of the tree has started reaching you. Dance under the stars. In the beginning, you may feel that your legs are not moving and you have to move because you have been forced to live without dance for so long. Your legs have forgotten the language of dance. But soon they will learn because it is a natural language. Each child knows how to dance. Each child knows how to be joyous. You will have to learn it again. But because it is natural, it comes fast. Just few efforts, and suddenly one day you are out of the trap. Your crutches have to be thrown. Even if sometimes you fall, it is perfectly good. but you have to stand on your own feet. The crutches of the society, of the organized religion, of the priests have to be thrown. Even for a few days you will feel impoverished. It is natural to feel impoverished for a few days. You have to accept it. But if you go on moving towards the natural, you will find Tao in your life. Tao is a natural flowering. Follow nature. Nobody wants to be miserable, and everybody is. They are not following nature. Nobody wants to be anything else than blissful, and nobody is blissful. Listen to the desire. The deepest desire indicates the right path. Your longing is for bliss, for beauty, for something that will overwhelm you, for something that will take you to the other source, for something which will be so tremendous and incredible that the past and the future will be washed away and you will be just here now. But don't try to understand. If you start trying to understand, you will become a victim of psychoanalysis. And the analysis is a process ad infinitum. You can go on analyzing and analyzing, and it is never finished. There is not a single person in the world who is totally psychoanalyzed. There can never be. This is where I differ from psychoanalysis. Don't go into analysis. Put the whole mind aside. Jump out of it. There is no need to understand. All that is needed is to live. Authentically live. All that is needed is to be. Enough for today.
Is is there an answer? Where do I come from? And where do I go? I don't understand, and I won't understand. I'll never understand the mystery of my life. Is there a me? Is there a you? Is there a line where we become two? I don't understand, and I won't understand. I'll never understand the mystery of my life. Saying I've been crazy about a million of times, been moving in circles just to follow the smile. But you told me it's good. You told me it's good. I know now it's a good thing that I won't understand. I won't understand. That I'll never understand the mystery of my life. Thank you. things I don't understand. And I won't understand. And I'll never understand the mystery. I've been crazy about a million of years. Been moving in circles just to follow my tears. But you told me it's good. You told me it's good.
This was Osho Radio for today. You heard music by Milarepa. We started with a song called One Breath from his CD Love is the Fire. Then there was Sudananda with the song Don't Wait from his CD Garden of Mystic Lovers. Just before the discourse, you heard wild violin and flute music from the days of Rajneeshpuram. By Ashik, it is called The Spark from Heaven, and it comes from his CD Gypsy Heart. After the discourse, there was a short instrumental piece of music by Manish Vijas from his CD Healing Ragas, and just now you heard Subodha with the song Mystery from his CD Ocean of Joy. To come back to the earth, we'll finish the program with a solid piece of music by Prem Joshua from his CD Global Spirit. It's called Ancient Secrets. Goodbye, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the program. Take care and Namaste.
Thank you.